My name is Josh Ortega, and like Heather introduced, we just planted a church here at Rice State University on campus, H2O. And when we came on, my wife and I are international missionaries. We're with YWAM. And when God asked us to be church planters here, it was like, what am I doing, Lord? What are you doing calling me to do this? It's pretty monumentous. And I'm like, all right, Lord. You gave me a pretty big faith nugget here, and I'm just going to go for it. And we're just going to go for it. And so my wife and I mean, not only did we do this church plant, but in a total unfamiliar way of doing ministry, like leading out a church plant. But then we had our first son at that same year. Like, I mean, it's just all kinds of things. Never did campus ministry as extreme. I didn't know, like, fall kickoff. What in the world? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that first couple weeks was grueling. And then I thought, like, the spring was going to be here. I'm like, oh, the spring is going to be so much easier. And then that first month is like, whoa, this was even more intense in the fall. And I was going to, like, just die. I felt like I was going to just crash and burn. And if it wasn't for Chi Alpha, just loving on me and our family and the encouragement. Jay literally just met up with me one time because I was losing my mind. I said, I need your help. I just need you to break down how in the world, like, we add some structure to this. And literally, I thought I was going to go and encourage him a little bit there, but I just sat down and drooled while he just, like, lavished wisdom and insight and understanding, and God just totally used. And like Heather said, there's just been this opportunity to love each other. One thing we see overseas is that missionaries, we don't like operate in our own little bubbles. You know what I'm saying? You partner real quick with other ministries. And if you don't, you're just not going to survive. And when God called us here, I didn't realize how much of a mission field a university could feel like. It really does feel like an international mission field. People are here temporarily. There's sometimes new lingo. Sometimes, you know, it's just, it's the energy is just like an international mission field. And so we were so blessed to come across campus ministries like Chi Alpha, who carry the Father's heart, championing the kingdom of God, and just wanted to see him lifted high. And in doing so, champion those that are co-laboring with him here at Wright State. So, man, I just love you guys. Every Chi Alpha person, leader, staff member, student has just loved on us and rooted us on and connected with us everywhere. And it's been incredible. We love Chi Alpha. We're still babies on campus. And you guys, your encouragement just makes us look and feel like we're doing, making a difference. It's amazing. So we love you. I can't say that enough, man. Mad love. You guys rock. You guys are radical servants. I mean, anytime Chi Alpha does something, you guys are getting together and your circuits are amazing and you guys are gathering in huge groups like community, family. Come on, that's the kingdom of God, right? Abba Papa is a family man. There's no, like, you can't just have God without his family. He's a family man. It just won't happen. And Chi Alpha is a beautiful demonstration that I really believe that us, the campus ministries, Chi Alpha, Athletes in Action, Crew, H2O, all these guys coming together are just really even given a bigger picture that as we do things together and encourage each other. And so, yeah, amen. And man, to see like Andy and Heather and Jay this past last year just stepping and serving on their behalf, Jay and his wife and family, man, they've dedicated their lives and their family to the spiritual awakening of this generation. They've committed, they've taken, you know, they could probably be making a whole lot more money than they already are, but it's not about the money. It is literally about what God's calling them to do. And they're here to radically serve you in your time here at Wright State University. And they want to be a part of championing what God's doing in and through you. So get plugged in. These internships and the opportunity to serve alongside or just step up, man, no fear when you're with family. Come on, just grab onto each other and say, all right, let's do this together. I love bridge jumping, and my favorite part was taking someone who's absolutely terrified, and it's so funny, they're like, I'll go if you hold my hand. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense, but all right, let's totally jump this 60-foot bridge, holding hands, you know, like, okay. But literally, when we're together, God gives us courage, you know. And so just say yes. Quit wondering, quit asking. Just say yes. Jump in and see what God has in store for you. There's 18,000 students on this university and not a lot of Christian ministries. We need more. We need some radical people just to step up and say, psh, I don't know how I came to Wright State. I can't even remember why I signed up for Wright State, but I'm here. And Lord, I know we make our plans, but you ordain our steps, so I must have a great purpose. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Amen. Amen. First passage I want to read from before I share this testimony I heard, and man, Kyle was like the perfect place to share this testimony, hallelujah, is in Psalms 96, verse 3. Hallelujah. Highlight this, pray on this, chew on this, write it on your wall, on your mirror, wherever. You could even probably get a tattoo and make it look good. But declare His glory among the nations, His wonderful works among all peoples. I don't know if you guys realize this, but you're sojourners, so get ready for the adventure. All right, it's an adventure. And your whole life will be filled with this. And God's heart has always been for the nations. So if He calls you to go overseas, let's just say yes. Let's just do it. It doesn't matter how dangerous it is. It doesn't matter what the calling is. There's no reason why these awesome brothers and sisters overseas experience the loss that they do for God's glory, and we shouldn't be called to it. And what an honor and privilege that we live in a country with the freedom to have this kind of ministry on a public university. It blows my mind away. It really does. Like, this is the freedom that we have will be eternally marked as unparalleled as a Gentile country just wanting, like, allowing such amazing ministries like this to be planted on public universities. I mean, there's so much against that right now, and yet, what are we going to do with the time that we have? What are you going to do with it? I guarantee you're not going to be, like, you're not going to step up into heaven one day and say, man, I wish I just would have read one more textbook in college. Or, you know, I should have just studied harder to get that A instead of that B. I'm not bashing academics here, all right? But academics is temporal in comparison to the eternal. You know what I'm saying? What are we investing in to? We're kind of this shallow being, these creatures that need daily remindering. That's why God says, get in the Word, remindering that this is about an eternal kingdom. And we're in it. And so we're not going to get up there and wish we had done anything else except for share Jesus with one more person. Like, hindsight, you're not going to regret making a fool of yourself by asking the person sitting next to you in your class, hey, I've got Chi Alpha Bible study tonight. Would you mind joining me? What are you doing tonight? You know, like, it's really awesome. I get totally rocked. Or maybe take them to a circuit, just hang out where they get experience community first, you know, like just hanging out and everything like that. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't, what are you going to risk? What are you going to lose? Are you going to risk pride? Are you going to lose reputation? You know, I mean, for what? For a moment with a person you may never meet again? What about that person at Myers that you continually run into and kind of wave awkwardly, whatever, you know? Like, I keep seeing yes, and we're building this weird relationship where I just keep passing you, you know, but what if that person needs prayer? Would it hurt, you know, just to be like, hey, is there anything, you know, I'm with this ministry, we love God, and God just continually reminds us that He loves people, and can I pray for you? It's about the one. It's about the one. Hallelujah. So there's this testimony we got from our or YWAM family. And I was just rocked and wrecked, and I was like, praise God, yes, more, come on. And there was this group, some of our missionaries, and they were in India. India, man, this I love India. We lived in India, and it just blows your mind. Man, it's an awesome place, great food, great colors, and God just like, he moves, man. These guys are expecting a movement, you know? What are we expecting from God? What are we expecting from God? Well, these guys are expecting some crazy things, and God moves in those crazy ways. Hallelujah. And so these guys, they had no agenda that day, and they're like, what can we do today? And one of them said, well, you remember that guy? He was just, he was broken. And maybe we should just go back. And when I say broken, his eyes were closed tight, like, and they had to pour like soup in his teeth. It was very restricted. And he wouldn't say anything. He just looked so angry. But he was stuck this way. He was stuck this way. And they lived in this little shack. And they said, let's just go back there and love this guy. And they did. They went there. The translator translated what they wanted to do. And what they started, first of all, what they did, they started with his feet. And they began to bathe his feet. This guy that had been laying there for a long time. And then they took some of the money that they had and went out and bought some clothes for him, some nice clothes. And still he's just stuck, you know, in this position. And they're like, man, he's been here for months, if not over a year. Let's just get this guy into some sunshine. Maybe that will bless him. And so they wrapped the guy, they put his arms around their neck, and two of them just kind of drag him out of the street to the closest little coffee shop. And he's like just stiff as a board kind of thing. You know, I mean, it's really, who would go after this guy, you know, and try to do this? But they were really persistent that the Holy Spirit wanted this guy to break free. Who would continue being this persistent except for a young person? I'm telling you, you guys blow me away. Just about what you're willing to do. So again, this coffee shop, and he's just kind of like leaning back, you know, like he's not sitting properly. And they bought some tea for him, and his tea just kind of gets all over his new shirt, just runs out of his mouth. And they're there, and they're just praying, they're talking with each other, and this guy comes over from a table and says, "What are you guys doing?" And they kind of share, they're like, we're wanting this guy to get healed. And he's been this way for a long time, and we really feel like God is going to lead to this to this healing. And so the guy said, "Man, that's crazy, you know." And they start talking. He's like, "Well, I've got cataracts in my eye." And I said, "Well, we could pray for that." And you got to understand, like, nobody ever thinks it's going to happen. I mean, like, you're like, "Okay, Lord, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen?" I mean, you're just like, what in the world? I'm just going to pray because I'm being obedient to praying, okay? And they step up, and that's the thing. They were obedient to praying, and they prayed over this guy, and the guy opens his eyes, and like these spots or whatever, his cataracts was gone. And then he's like really tripping out, and they're tripping out. They're like, yes, yes, this is what we're talking about. Let's pray back on this guy, right? And the guy goes back to the table, gets a couple of the friends, and they come with their ailments, and then they get healed. Then they say, "Well, wait, we're going to go back to our families. We've got sick people in our families, and we're going to bring them." You guys, it filled up the coffee shop, and before you know it, like they asked them, the coffee shop said, "You can't be in here anymore. There's no room for customers." So they went to the lot next door. They filled up the lot next door with people just wanting to get prayed for. One young man got healed. And said, "You have to come to the hospital and pray over my family member at the hospital. They can't leave the bed. They have starts with an L. I don't know. Leukemia. Thank you." And he was going. And again, young people, you guys are nuts. You know, like no, in like right-minded adult really would do this. But here gets this young guy on a moped, stranger's moped, and just starts. "Okay, you guys, I'll see you. I'll be back, you know. I got my camera, so we're going to record this." And he goes there, and they're just fired up. They're like, "Yes, God wants to heal your family member." And the moped runs out of gas. on the way there. And the young man that just got healed is so fired up, and like, Jesus is so awesome. He's like, no, Jesus doesn't want this to happen. He's going to allow us to get on. Just get back on. And so they got on and started back up. And so they make it to the hospital, and they pray over. He gets to his relative who had the L word, and she gets healed. Then it was like, not like just like, I feel a little bit better. Like, gets up out of bed, you know, like, I'm feeling really good. Like, let's go. And all the talk started happening. And then they said, well, would you come into this patient's room and pray? And patient. And then doctors started hearing about these people getting healed and said, come into my ward. And between the group praying on the side there, side parking lot, and this guy, it was like 5 hours of praying. They were exhausted, you guys. They were exhausted, but they were praying. Well, this guy that was still stiff as a board kind of thing going on wasn't forgotten. He's still in the coffee shop. But he wasn't forgotten. And they went and prayed on him as a team. And they just started saying, God loves you. God loves you. Jesus set you free. And he started moving. And this man, he exited his home stiff, tight, not able to have a life. But he walked back into his home filled with freedom. Salvation came to that family. And they went and got other family to hear about the Lord. And salvation came to that family. You guys, God wants to do radical things in and through us. All we got to do is say, here am I. Why not? I use this illustration all the time. I love it. I think I heard it from either Jeff Foxworthy or that other country comedian. I don't know what his name is. Yeah. And he said, what's the last words of a redneck? Hey, y'all, watch this. That's right. That's right. Hey, y'all, watch this. I really think that should be like the Christian motto. You know, like, I'm either going to die trying or totally look like an idiot, or God's going to come through. Hey, y'all, watch this. You know, faith is equivalent to risk. Like, it's got this risk factor. So you just kind of turn up that knob of risk and you're turning up your faith. So let's just invite people into that opportunity to see God lifted high and see what he does. And again, you know, I mean, what's the worst you can say? Like, in eternity, you shouldn't have tried that. You shouldn't have attempted that. You shouldn't have stepped out and made yourself vulnerable like that. Just surrender it all. The quicker we realize our identity as a child is that we were a bondservant that accepted that place of being a child of Abba, Papa. You know, we're a servant to the Lord. And he treats us so well, he calls us son and daughter. That's pretty impressive. That's another study. Anyways, I hear you guys are going through John. And what an incredible book to go through. You know, I mean, right off the bat, just tells you, really makes it simple. I don't know why people complicate the Trinity. Jesus is the Word of God. You know, like, that's not complicated. Now he's just embodied in flesh. Hallelujah. He's God's Word. They're three in one. Spirit of God, the body, and the Word. Hallelujah. And they all work in unison. And so John is just this powerful book, and it glorifies God, or Jesus as God. That's its main objective. And I like to close out in John, but the story I like to give to recognize a characteristic and principle of Jesus will be in Mark tonight. And so if you could open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. We're going to talk about this awesome story. And Jesus, I mean, come on, I love Jesus. And when I say that, it's like, you just need a tag on, I'm in love with Jesus. All right, you could love a lot of things, but I am in love with Jesus. I love him. Sweeps me off my feet. Who are you? You know, and that's a good question. Who is he, right? He's this figure that stepped from another kingdom down here and introduce this his kingdom to this world is so different. We're on this series called The Upside Down Kingdom on Sundays, and I just love studying how crazy awesome Jesus was. He was so different. And one of the attributes of Jesus is he was the greatest missionary that ever lived, right? He left his home to come here and share his kingdom with us. That's big. You guys left your home, whether you live locally or you live far, you left your home to come to Wright State University today. All right, there's a parallel already. So here Jesus is, greatest missionary that ever lived, no one like him before or after, and he literally changed the world in 3 years. 3 years. That's his only his ministry. He had this awesome life before then, did some sweet things, and just loved his Abba Papa and the family that Abba Papa gave him here on earth. But for 3 years is his ministry, and it revolutionized the world, literally. I mean, B.C. and A.D., before Christ, after death. Our time is marked by it. So Jesus, his missionary plan, his master plan, really was super simple. And I think we see it so well in this story. This story could be picked apart in so many ways. It's like the story to share with people when sharing Jesus. At least for me, I love going to this story. Hallelujah. This is about when he drove out the demons, the demoniac, the story about the demoniac. So let's check it out. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, lead us. Then they came to the other side of the sea. To the other side of the sea, to the region of Gerasenes. Check it out. I have my MDiv and I can't even pronounce that. Okay. As soon as he got out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the tombs and met him, and he lived in the tombs. No one was able to restrain him anymore, even with chains, because he often had been bound with shackles and chain, but had snapped off the chains and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. And always, night and day, he was crying out among the tombs and in the mountains and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he knelt down before him, and he cried out with a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you before God, don't torment me." For he had told him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." "What is your name?" he asked him. "My name is Legion," he answered him, "because we are many." And he kept begging him not to send them out of the region. Now a large herd of pigs was there feeding on a hillside, and the demons begged him, "Send us to the pigs so we may enter them." And he gave them permission. Then unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd of about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned there. The man who tended them ran off and reported it in the town, the countryside, and the people went to see what happened. They came to see Jesus, saw the man who had been demon-possessed by the legion, sitting there, dressed up in his right mind, and they were afraid. The eyewitnesses described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and he told about the pigs. Then they began to beg him to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed kept begging him to be with him, but he would not let him. Instead, he told him, "Go back home to your own people and report to them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So he went out and began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and they were all amazed. Amen. So what I love about this story, and we didn't even get into it before chapter 4, which that's kind of cray-cray, but chapter 5, that's crazy enough. That's crazy enough. Here Jesus is. He's this missionary, and he just crossed over as a missionary with his disciples on this boat over the sea. And their sea wasn't like, their trip was horrible. It was dangerous. If you read before, they were all fearful. This is that point where the disciples run to Jesus and wake him up. Here Jesus is in the midst of the storm, and he's napping, like with a cushion, okay? And where do you get a cushion on one of these boats? I don't know. And nowhere else does it explain Jesus being this comfortable in the Bible, but like sleeping with a cushion. And the disciples come up and wake him up, and they're like, "Will you save us? We're about to die." And Jesus calms the wind and the waves, and they're like, "Who are you? Who are you?" So their trip was already super dangerous getting there. It kind of reminds me of that trip, Heather, you sharing over to the Ukraine. You know, all the parents kind of freaking out, like, "Oh, this is so dangerous. The world is dangerous, you guys. You can drive out onto Colonel Glenn Highway. I see more accidents out there. Man, I'm praying over that road. Hallelujah. I'm like, Father God, mercy, just all up and down that road. There's so much danger out in the world. Let's be dangerous for the Lord." But so here he comes to this place for this demon-possessed man. That just shows that Jesus was God, because the only way he would have known about him is if he was omnipresent. And Jesus was, you know, he knew about this guy. He had authority. He had all authority, all power. Even the demons recognized who he was. They straight up call him out, like, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God." You know, I mean, all these things lead up to this. God sets this man free. I have never encountered anybody that has ever been this far off. You know, like, wow. Maybe an African story out there, like some guys, some foos or whatever. But, you know, I've never ran into personally anybody that was cutting themselves, breaking chains, living buck naked in the tombs, screaming, just in pain and hurt. And Jesus set this person free. That's why I love telling this story to people, because everybody's going through something, but it ain't this. And if Jesus could set this man free, he could set anybody free. So we go on and we see Jesus do this, and then he gets back in the boat. Like, he leaves again. He came over for this one person. Isn't that kind of crazy? Like, took a dangerous trip just to love on one person. One person. Jesus' ministry, his missionary objective, was the one. Always going after the one person. I'm the one. You're the one. To this day, that objective continues to carry on. He pursues the one, like individually. And then he says to the one, "Go and tell people. You go pursue the one like you've been pursued. Show him or show her my love. Go tell them what I've done for you and the mercy that God has had on you." And Decapolis was this, it was comprised of 10 little villages, 10 towns, whatever. And it says he went all throughout Decapolis, right? So he went throughout and everybody was amazed. Now in this story, I see Jesus being super missional and then sending someone he just radically changed their life. Like, come on, we're not here tonight because of Christian values. We're not here because it makes us feel better, or this is a self-help, you know, like motivational seminar to make you be a better professional. You know, we're here because we love Jesus. It's about Jesus. This person was encountered there, and he was obedient in saying, "I'll go. I'd be way more comfortable with you, Lord, but I'll go." Blessing is that we have God with us right now. And that's pretty powerful. So, here's the demoniac. He gets radically encountered by Jesus and obeys. And then we have this other group over here kind of looking. And the first set of people left in fear. And they said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, this is crazy. We're going to go tell everybody about this." And everybody came out like, "We've got to see this demoniac. Everybody knows about that crazy dude. And he's here." And when they saw him, they asked him to leave. Isn't that weird? Like, just witnessed a miracle and they're asking Jesus to leave. That kind of blows me away. that you could have one person who was so moved by God. And it happens every day. It happens all over the world. God does something for somebody. And either they leave or the people around them say, I want God to leave. Yeah, it was good what he did here, but I want him to leave. I want Jesus to leave. Universities are a lot like that. Okay? They are an institution, and they're great. Again, I'm all about education. I'm all about furthering yourself. God wants to equip you to be world changers in your professions, medical, business, entertainment. Did I say government? All that stuff. He wants you to go there as missionaries. And he wants to give you a platform. He wants to give you all this wisdom and insight to change the world. And people will be like, who are you? Like, yo, I love God. That's, you know, whatever. Be like a Daniel. Hallelujah. But God wants to do something with you right now. And if we're focusing on all that other stuff, you know, God's going to take care of you. He's a good Abba Papa. He's a really good Abba Papa. And he's going to take care of you. But if we're focusing on anything else other than what God wants us to do right now, and we don't realize that we have a purpose here on this campus, it's going to be sad. I don't want you to live with regrets. But campus universities, they're built with this whole intention. They love the things that God has made, and they love exploring that. But if they don't understand it, they're going to put a ceiling on it. You know, when I was over in India, or you hear this testimony of India, there's no ceiling on what God can do. They're expecting a movement here. But anytime I'm in a Christian circle here, for the most part, I'm always hearing like, was that healing real? Is that staged? You know, like there's all this questions and doubts. Like, I just want that part of God to go. Why don't we just get that part of God to go? I'm not comfortable with that. But man, Jesus brought life and life more abundant, right? Come on. We want that life and life more abundant. He just didn't invite us into white picket fences and all that stuff. He said, no, follow me is an adventure. It is what we've been longing for. We see movies about it. We see books written about it. It's the deep longing in our soul for adventure. And everything the enemy has built or institutionalized has been done to, if he can't keep you from knowing who Jesus is, he's going to keep you from knowing who you are in Jesus. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot going on here. And when we wake up that we've been called for such a time, for such a purpose, you could have been born anytime. I mean, God was thinking about you before he even shaped the earth. You could have been born in the West. You know, I've been a good outlaw back in the West. You know, you could have been born in medieval days, the Renaissance period. I don't know what you're dreaming of. You know, like Egyptian time. You could have been born any time in the history of the world. But God said, I want you to be born for this day, for this time, for this purpose, for this people group. All the giftings I knitted in your mother's womb, in you, all those spiritual gifts and natural giftings and your personality and the way the people you're going to meet, it's going to be an awesome package you get to unfold the rest of your life. It's not going to be easy, but I will be with you the whole time. And when we realize that, we're like, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Today's a new day. Who you got in store? Come on, bring it. Show me the one. Show me the one to love today. Show me the one to write an encouraging note today. So show me the one to get a meal, maybe with my extra write one card. Or show me the one just to pray with. Just be bold and ask them for prayer. Show me the one, Lord. You were about the one. Why can't I be about the one today, Lord? Maybe the one is lost, doesn't know the Lord. Maybe the one is saved, but just needs to be revived. Their relationship with the Lord needs to be revived. Maybe that one is totally hungry for God, and God's called you to disciple them. Who's that one? Jesus was about the one. And when we look at this demoniac story, he went to great lengths for the one. He didn't gripe and complain. He didn't wonder if it was worth it. He didn't even argue with the people that said, leave. You know, I mean, I imagine the pig herders were upset. They just lost 2,000 pigs because they ran off a cliffside, you know, but still, this dude was healed. That's a miracle. God wants to perform miracles in and through you guys, but I want you to be willing. You're in a great ministry. Chi Alpha Champions is going to champion you. They want to see everything that God's placed in you and just champion it. They want to go low so you can go high. You have a short window that's called college in your lifetime. You'll never get again. Yeah, you could try to like pan it out 8 years, you know, but it eventually runs out, okay? You've got this short window. And Jesus, 30 and above, was investing in a 30 below. Oldest disciple was Peter. They say he's 22 years old. He's the only one that had a wife, which you were given a wife at 18 in Jewish culture. And he's the only one that had to pay taxes. So these young people were with him for 3 years and ready to change the world after spending time with him. Didn't we read that in John? Didn't you guys read that in John where Jesus does this radical thing or says this radical statement and everybody leaves? They pretty much say, we don't want any more of you, Jesus. We had what we wanted, but that I don't want. He turns to his disciples and says, where are you guys going to go? He said, where else can we go? You have the truth. I know that. My mother-in-law, Barb Singerman, she's my mom and dad, my father-in-law, are missionaries over in Africa. And they're now based in the Congo. And my mother-in-law, like, God, love her. She is just so amazing. But you never have to wonder what she's thinking. She's very African in that way. And that's how my wife and I actually got married, started dating, is because I was interning under my father-in-law. And because I was like, Dad, you do exactly what I want to do. At the time, I didn't call him Dad, I called him Bro. And we were sitting at the breakfast table like the first week of a month that I have out there in Africa. And like, Mom just came out and said, you guys would be really good for each other. Have you thought about that? And I'm like, who is this woman? Like, just like speaking that. I've got a month here, you know, like this isn't cool. But it really did work out. But my mother-in-law, my mom, she says she really challenges every group that she's with this awesome statement. She says, you know, Satan knows the word, but doesn't obey it. A follower of Jesus, like this demoniac that was set free, he knows God's word and obeys it. If we really take a close look at ourselves, who are we imitating? Are we imitating Satan or are we imitating a follower of Jesus? I know that's a pretty radical statement and it may pierce. It convicts me every time I say it. I'm like, come on, Lord. We know God's word. We have that light. In fact, if we could turn to John verse 8. 12. I'm just going to continue in that John flow that you guys have been in. I love Jesus' mission statement here. It says, well, one of his mission statements, he just was always sharing enlightening us on his mission. But he said, John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That demoniac was in complete darkness, just like all of us when Jesus encountered us. You can't say, oh, that guy's extreme and I'm cool, I'm good. We all, when we really realize it, every decision we made outside of Jesus, before Jesus, led to death and destruction. And if God, Holy Spirit hasn't given you insight into all your paths, would have just led somewhere destructive. Whether it was wealth, it would have destroyed you. Whether it was relationship with somebody, it would have destroyed you. Kids, sheesh, they'll destroy you without Jesus. You know, like, you need Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything is just, it's like being in a dark room. Oh, can't go there. Oh, and just eventually you're making your way through only to fall through this trap, like hole in the ground into your death. You're just kind of bumping into things saying, oh, it won't be me. You know, like, I won't be the one to make that mistake. You know, it's just like, statistically, yes, it happens over and over and over. But Jesus becomes our light, and we become light bearers. There's a lot of people on this campus, you guys, that are looking for light, and maybe they don't even know it. Maybe they'll be stubborn to it and say, oh, I can handle myself. But there gets to a point to where a drowning person realizes they're drowning, and they're so desperate for help. And they're like, please help me. I can't swallow any more water. I don't have the strength to hold myself up any longer. I even see. See, the thing is, in our heart, we have this picture of eternity. We know it's there, and so we're swimming our best. We're like, I got it, God. I got it. We just start getting exhausted. And eventually we realize that we're just spinning our wheels. We'll never touch it unless it's through Jesus. So be bold. That's my message tonight is, are you asking God for the one? And if you're not, would you ask Him for the one? Would you be obedient to that? If God's calling you to step up into leadership or internship or whatever, would you just say yes? Why not? Why not? What do you got to lose? Seriously. Before you know it, you're going to be married, which, praise God, I love being married. My babylicious babe. Hallelujah. And having kids. I didn't want kids when we got married. It was amazing. God radically rescued my heart because I love being a dad now. And, I got an amazing son. And there's times where I felt drowning there and God rescues me there too. But, you know, it's amazing. But I don't travel like I did when I was young like you guys. I mean, I literally went all over the world while getting a degree and pursuing my babylicious babe in marriage, all that stuff. You guys have this opportunity to do whatever you want, wherever you want in Christ kind of thing. Why not say yes? You're going to get that great job. I mean, especially when you trust in God. I had my first job. I was an artist. I went to school for art. My first job, and I totally trusted God. I did an internship at a church, 17 years old. That was like big internship. And I was like, all right, Lord, I'm focusing on this. Total missionary heart, but I'm like, this is my profession. I'll do it. Love art. And then when I graduated and left, or when I left school, I was like, man, I didn't do anything to really the job, you know, except for get the degree. And I get home and I start working at a photo thing, like at Walgreens. I'm like, wow, that's what you do with a degree. And put out my feelers out there with a resume. And, you know, some guy, he woke up from a dream. I'm not saying that guy will always do this, but he woke up in a dream and said, who's Josh Ortega, honey? And she's like, I think that's the Ortega's kids. Just go back to bed. And he's like, really? Who is he? Is he here in town? And she's like, he's in college. Like, just go back to bed. We'll talk about it in the morning. And they woke up the next day. He's like, okay, so Josh Ortega, who is he? You know, like, and she said, well, that's the Ortega's kid. And he said, well, I need to hire him to be my new art director. And he said, God told me in a dream to hire him. And it's so funny. I'd just gotten home at that time and all this stuff. Everything just aligned perfectly. But what I'm saying is God totally was looking out for me. I was putting him first. And if you haven't highlighted Matthew 6:33 in your Bible yet, please do it. Grace on that too. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you seek first God's sovereignty in your life and then a right relationship with him, like, you're G to G. You're better off than the birds in the field that are looking good and being fed and living up in some cool nest in somebody else's yard that is being manicured for them. You know? God's got it. He has your best intention. He wants you to have the position to influence people. Quit focusing on the influence in people and focus on him. And God will put you there. He humbles the exalted and exalts the humble. Let's just seek him together. Let's be in community. Let's find out what it means to be in family and community. America's missing out on that. The Western culture has this poor concept of family and community. And God wants to reintroduce it through this generation. This generation is so built on community coming together like this. Like, I want you guys to leave Chi Alpha and Wright State and the community that the church is here in Dayton saying, I cannot go to another church unless they have strong community. And if not, you know how to foster it. Let's be that people group that changes. This was America before this generation. This was America after this generation. You know what I'm saying? Let's do this. Abba, Papa, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for this amazing, radical group of young people, your people, Lord. I thank you so much that you love us so much and you rescued us and you brought us into this great family with great purpose, that we are sons and daughters. We're yours. We are ambassadors, sojourners, automatically engrafted into the kingdom and now walking out a missional life here on earth. Lord, help us see that on a day-to-day basis. Lord, I pray for everybody in here that when times get hard, that they lean on you first and then each other. That they find comfort in your word, and that comfort is reinforced by opening up their lives and their heart to your family. Father God, if somebody's in here that doesn't know you or is kind of on the fence and getting to know you and hasn't stepped in that relationship yet and just said, you know, I'm willing. I'm being swept off my feet. It's undeniable. Like, God, you are a God, and I either say yes or no right now. I just pray that they say yes in their heart. They say yes in their heart and then go share it with somebody. Go share it with a leader. Go share it with a friend. Go share it right away. Proclaim it, because that's what people who have been rescued do. That's what people who have found their beloved do, is go tell people about it. Father God, I pray that you bless their encounters, all the young people here tonight, bless their encounters just throughout the day and everything, and give them vision and give them courage and give them faith, Lord, because we're all Gideons, really we are. But you know what? We are champions when we're along with our Papa, because we know that you're doing the work and we're just kind of like looking cool, holding your hand. Father God, it's all about you. Jesus, you're the name lifted above every name. We're fascinated with you. We will live for you. We will die for you. We just love you. Partake of you. I pray that tonight, Lord, I pray that for this week. I pray that for this semester. I pray this gift of salvation beautifully unfolds clearly to everybody for the full year. Lord, that you love them. And that you have this amazing adventure if they're just willing to step outside the boat. Come on. What a blessing. We praise you, Lord. I love you. We ask this in your name, our Savior, your Son, Jesus. Amen.